Everybody got really quiet, didn't they? Jeff has you conditioned. Jeff is not here, though. Jeff is with the high school juniors and seniors in Gatlinburg on a leadership retreat, so I ask that you pray for them, and not only that they would learn a lot, but that they would have good fellowship, good bonding time, and be safe in their travel. So I ask that you would pray accordingly in that regard. We are glad that you're here with us in worship. I know we may have some guests with us, and certainly we'll have a time to recognize them, but members, be sure and notice where guests are so that you can welcome them. I do want to mention to you, the pew pads are there, and those of you that are regulars with us, you know the drill on that. Sign it, pass it down. When it gets to the end, pass it back. So ushers will take those up at the end. I do want to let you know, because of the Martin Luther King recognition holiday, the church office will be closed tomorrow. And as such, there will be no Monday morning Bible study classes here at the church tomorrow. We do encourage you, as we said at 9 o'clock, certainly study your Bible at home. You know, you don't have to be at church to study your Bible. So we don't say there's no Bible study tomorrow. It's just no class here tomorrow, okay? All right. Tonight, there will be no channels.
No channels. We will have youth choir.
Bells and youth choir will meet, okay? Very good. Got those out of the way. Wednesday night is our regularly scheduled quarterly church conference. So we want to remind you about that. Come be with us for that. Also, next Sunday night at 6 o'clock down in the new youth area, there will be a time of dedication and worship down there. So Jeff told you a little bit about that last week, and I think there's an article about it in the newsletter. So come be a part of that. That will be a great time, very informal, but a good time of just recognizing what God is doing and how he's working within that that ministry, and the resources and the facilities that you have made possible will allow them to continue and grow that ministry. So very, very, very thankful for that. So I hope that you'll come be a part of that. I do want to give you an announcement that's a little bit further out, so you can take this at home, put it on your big calendar. But the last week in April, we will be right out front with the Big Tent Revival again. I know it's been there's much rejoicing. Yes, much rejoicing in the land. For those of you that weren't with us the last couple, I think probably about 5 or 6 years ago was the last time that we did it. Some of you have been asking about it, and we just kind of been waiting for what we felt like was the time and place. And so the last week in April, we'll be back out front, Big Tent Revival. That reminds me of a story that I will tell you now of an opportunity that we had at some point to have a community-wide revival, and we tried to coordinate that. Just so you will know, last year, about this time, we were trying to coordinate a community-wide revival. We didn't have as much success with that as we had hoped. You know, some churches are just a little territorial, and we're not casting judgment or stones or anything else, but it just didn't come together. And it reminded me of a story of a community revival that did work. And I want to share with you that success story. And it was after the revival, the ministers all got together, and they were kind of doing their evaluation of it. And they were trying to be serious about it and see whether they wanted to do this again in the future. And one Presbyterian minister says, you know, we really thought it was a fantastic time, and we gained 5 new members from the revival, so we're thrilled to death, and we're ready to go again. And one of the Methodist ministers says, well, you know, in like fashion, we had just resounding success from it. We gained 10, twice as many. We gained 10 new members from that, so we're ready to go. And the Baptist minister said, fellas, I could start again tomorrow, because we got rid of 15 members that we've been trying to get rid of for years, and so we're ready to, yeah, okay. don't write me. Don't call. I get it. I understand. But we do at some point want to encourage you, and we will continue to encourage you as we get closer to April, to truly make this a community revival in the sense that we want to invite our community. And we had great success with that the last a couple of times that we did that. We had a lot of people walk in from the community for the services, and that's what we want to see happen. We truly do want to make this a community-wide revival, so you be praying about that. In all seriousness, be praying about how you can help make it truly a community-wide revival. Those of you that are guests, generally I don't do the announcement, so please come back next week. please come back. Jeff is gone. But if you're a guest with us this morning, our ushers, they're going to come to the front. And after they make it up here to the very front, they're going to turn around and walk back down the aisle. And as they do that, we want to recognize you. And if you don't mind, if you'll just slip up your hand, if you're a first-time guest with us this morning, they've got some information about the ministries of College Park. We want you to have that. There's a newsletter in there that tells you about the ministries and the missions that we're engaged in on a daily and weekly basis. So if you would please take that. If you have any questions, give me a call. Let me know. Any of the staff would be glad to talk with you about ways that you can plug in, being part of the ministries here at College Park. We're delighted that you're here today. We have a wonderful time, a meaningful worship, and we're glad that you're a part of that. It's no accident that you are here. I believe that firmly, and we are gathered here together as God's people. We're gathered for the purpose of worship. We make announcements, but we're really here to worship together. I invite you to join with us as we begin in a time of worship.
God, how glad we are to be in your presence this morning. Lord, to know that in this place you are here with us. Lord, to know that even now you're with those who aren't able to be here this morning for various reasons. And Lord, as we come into this place, help us even now to open our hearts to you. Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, to know your goodness. Lord, to hear your calling. Lord, help us to seek you even as you seek us now. Lord, help us not to turn away. Help us not to leave here the same people that came in. But rather, Lord, help us to know your presence and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
to invite all the children, if you would, come on down. Jeff's not here, but we're going to carry on without him. All right? See, school's out tomorrow, so we may have some children out of town vacationing. Wonderful for them. Well, let me ask you all something. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night by the phone ringing? Did you ever been waken up by the phone? Have you ever? It's kind of unsettling, isn't it? Kind of, does it scare you just a little bit? How about when you hear a real loud noise in the middle of the night? Does that kind of wake you up and startle you just a little bit? We don't do well being woken up generally, do we? Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Did your phone ring this week one morning? Did it? Uh-huh. It rang real early, didn't it? And it was giving you good news, wasn't it? Yeah, didn't have school. Well, let me tell you this. When my phone rings in the middle of the night, it's generally not good news. Yeah, it's usually not good news at all. And I don't like to be awakened in the middle of the night either. But this morning, in just a few minutes, I'm going to tell them a story about Samuel and how he was awakened in the middle of the night by God. And God had a great message for him. He was telling him about how God was going to use him. He was going to help him grow in his knowledge of the Lord and how God was going to use him. And see, you don't have to be awakened in the middle of the night to understand that God wants to use you. You're here at church, you're learning about God, and at some point you're going to have an opportunity to tell others about God. That's one way that he uses us. He allows us to tell other people about him. So you need to look for a chance this week, if you can. Tell somebody about God. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them what you're learning in Sunday school and the extended time, okay? Can you do that? Look for a chance to tell somebody about God and Jesus and what you're learning, okay? All right, let's pray together and ask for his help. Gracious Father, I thank you for these children. I thank you for their excitement, their enthusiasm, the fact that they're here learning all about you. We pray that you would give them a chance this week to tell somebody else about Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
It's good. It's good to see you today, and we're going to read God's Word together if you'd like to follow along. We're going to begin with Psalm 139, 1 through 6, and verses 13 through 18. You can always use the Pew Bible that's in front of you there. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I'll praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. And then moving over to the Gospel of John, be reading John 1, 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael said. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for new beginnings, for the promise of spring, for the promise of a new year ahead of us. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. I ask that you bless these gifts and offerings that we give back to you, that it may further your kingdom here on earth. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
As promised to the children, we are going to read a story about Samuel. I know you've probably heard this story read, or perhaps it was taught to you as a child, but we'll read it again and we'll take a look at a few principles that I think we can glean from God's Word from this story this morning. From 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 through 20. It says, The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Lord, speak, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it speaks to us, how it reaches from the time all the way back to Samuel. And it reaches out to our hearts even today, convicts us, inspires us. We pray that you would be with us as we study and that you would reveal yourself to us even more fully. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I have to confess to you that I generally just don't watch the news anymore. I don't watch the local news, except maybe the sports report and the weather, if it seems like those are kind of relevant to the day. I generally just don't have any use for local news anymore. Why? Because I'm tired of the constant barrage of bad news about murders and rapes and politics in general. And I'll tell you something, I'll tell you something else. I've been known, this may shock you, probably not, I've been known to write to the news desk and say, "You missed a great story." One item in particular I can recall, there was an event that happened and it was 99% really good, really positive news. And somehow they took the 1% that was negative, which I knew about, and that's what they broadcast. And I sent them a letter saying, "You missed it. You missed a chance to really say something positive about our community. Instead, you sold out to the spectacular." And it really disappointed me, and I told them that. And in general, that's what I see happening in our day. I know without a shadow of a doubt there are plenty of wonderful, just tremendous things that are happening in this city, in this community every day. Amen? There are good things that are happening in our community. But if you listen to the news too much, you can certainly be led to believe that nothing good ever really happens here. You know, evidently, good news doesn't make, good news. I don't know. Maybe we're keeping the good news secret. Maybe we need to call every day and make sure they know what the good news is and see if they'll broadcast some of it. You know, and I wonder if sometimes we get to the point where we actually believe our own bad press, expecting more bad news, more bad stuff to follow. And when we expect bad news, you kind of end up where I am. Why listen? Why bother? Why not just grin and bear it and maybe just get through the moment? And I wonder if that maybe what was going on with the Israelites in our story today. In the day of Eli and Samuel, it says that the word of God was rare and visions weren't widespread. Was God really silent? Or was it maybe that people just weren't listening? Had people become resigned to bad news? Had even the faithful given up hope of hearing a life-changing word from God? It tells us that Eli's eyes had become dim, physically speaking. Maybe they had become dim, spiritually speaking as well. Maybe he could no longer see the light of the candle or the lamp, nor could he see the light of the Spirit of God. Had all of God's people given up and gone to sleep? Well, to help understand this story, I think we need to do a little quick backstory. If you'll recall, Eli and Samuel lived before King Saul, before King David, even before the temple. Israel, the nation of Israel, if you will, at this point really was just 12 tribes who were kind of a loose-knit confederation. They were kind of joined together. They were led by heads of family and by judges who sometimes exercised military or legal or priestly functions. Eli was such a guy. He was a priestly judge. And the tribe's primary bond was their common covenant with the Lord. That's what held them together. And because there was no temple for centralized worship yet, the Ark of the Covenant, remember the Ark of the Covenant? You know, it symbolized God's presence with the people. And it resided in this tent, which was a shrine in Shiloh. Okay? So now you have Eli, who served as priest of that shrine where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was a hereditary position, but as we know from our story, his sons were corrupt, irreverent, and unfit to follow in the priestly tradition. Sounding kind of bleak so far, isn't it? Sounding kind of bleak. But into the middle of all of this, there in Shiloh, is a young boy named Samuel. He was growing up. He was serving Eli. He did the chores that Eli's older bones and eyes could no longer do. He was sweeping, hauling water, he was making fires, he was doing whatever he needed to do, the chores that needed done. And the night that we read about here, the night that Samuel heard God's voice, according to verse 3, Samuel may have been sleeping right there beside the Ark of the Covenant. He may have been in that actual tent that housed the Ark. So if you can imagine here, a young adolescent boy curled up on his probably a goat hair top of blanket there, just about asleep, right at that point where he's nodding off, and then he hears his name called. Well, he does have the presence of mind to answer, but notice how he did not respond. He did not say, "Go away, let me sleep longer," as I would dare say maybe a few early adolescents might say. "Leave me alone, I'm sleeping." You know, he did not assume that a friend was playing the joke on him or that Eli was somehow playing a joke on him. He did not brush it aside as a weird dream. He understood. He acted as if the summons were true. He got up and he went to Eli saying, "Here am I. Here I am. What is my task?" He was a good boy. He wanted to serve. He was faithful to serve. And the interesting thing is it takes Eli three times to realize what's going on. It had been a while, evidently, since he had listened and or heard the voice of the Lord and recognized the circumstance. But finally he does. Now, what do you suppose is going through Eli's mind when he finally recognizes what's happening here, that God is calling out to Samuel? What do you think went through his mind? It's one of those rhetorical questions. I'll let you ponder it for just a minute. Ponder the possibilities. What was he thinking? Let me throw out some possibilities. There may have been just a little bit of jealousy. I don't know. There may have been. It would be kind of a human response. You know, why is God choosing this young pup over there who doesn't really even know who God is yet? I mean, why would he do that? Or maybe, on the plus side, maybe he's excited. God's voice, it's being heard again, at least by someone. God's voice, again. Or maybe even fear. Because maybe in that day, God didn't tend to show up except when things weren't good. Maybe a little fear, I don't know. But whatever was in Eli's mind, his words to Samuel were quite courageous. He says, go back, hear what God has to say. And Samuel obeyed. And we know from Scripture, he grew to become a trustworthy prophet of the Lord, never letting any of his words, quote, fall to the ground, never shying away what needed to be said. I say, well, that's a good story. What does it have to do with me? God hasn't woken me up in the middle of the night anytime lately. Raymond, what does this have to do with me? Well, I think first of all, we would be reminded, and we would do well to ask ourselves, does God's word fall on deaf ears? In other words, do I listen, but I refuse to obey? When I come to church, when I hear the Sunday school lesson taught, when I hear God's word proclaimed, do I listen, but yet I refuse to obey? When I'm in my personal Bible study time, when I read what God's word said, do I hear it in my mind's eye and yet refuse to obey? That's question number one. And when we lose faithfulness, when that occurs, it can seem as if God has fallen into a deep, deep silence. You know, we may complain in our troubles that God has abandoned us, that God doesn't even really care about us. But if we have not been open and watchful for the Lord's voice, for the Lord's presence, treating God only as if someone who bails us out when we have trouble or gives us what we want when we're greedy, or if we have not made a habit of hearing God's word only to go along our merry way, we may soon discover that we've become like Eli. Not only are we blind to the spiritual, maybe we're blind to sin. Maybe we're deaf to sin. But there's good news here too. Don't always want to see the bad, want to see the good. There's good news. Number one, God is persistent. God's also consistent, but we're going to go with persistent right here. God is persistent because God has a vision of what we are meant to be. What he desires for us to be, to grow to be. God doesn't give up on us. Do not give up on him. God is persistent. We should strive to be as well. Second good news is that God's work does not depend on our belief. You go, huh? God's work doesn't depend on our belief. It doesn't. Scripture tells us very clearly, Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. But God came to him anyway. Samuel got to know the Lord because God came to him, not because Samuel sought God. Now, that's certainly not to say it's bad to seek God. Certainly, I mean, it's good to seek God, but God doesn't depend on that. God often unexpectedly breaks into human existence, revealing himself to the world. We just came out of Advent. And that's exactly what he did. He broke into human existence. He broke into the normal and revealed himself in an extraordinary way. You don't believe me? Go back and read this. Go back and read it again. All the way through, God breaks through to reveal himself. Third point of good news is that God does not discriminate. Eli was old, Samuel was young. God used both. Eli was a mentor, he was an interpreter, he was a guide, he was an encourager. So age was and is no excuse to relinquish duties. It's no excuse to try to relinquish duties. Samuel was young. Samuel was inexperienced. But youth is no excuse to fail to listen. So if God can use Samuel in his Eli in his advanced years, and Samuel in his youth, I dare say he can use everything in between, and we probably all fall in that spectrum, right? Which means God can use us. There's no excuses. So the next question, the natural question then is, are we going to let God use us? And as I read God's word, Old Testament, New Testament, there is this mandate to know God more fully and to follow him, to do his will, not ours. And refusal to do so can lead to his judgment / discipline, whichever word your sensitivities want to use. But it's very clear that Eli's refusal to follow God's will was leading to judgment on his family. Refusal to surrender our will to his sometimes leaves us on the outside screaming in, "But God, why are you silent? Why aren't you using me?" Do you see the sad, pathetic, the arrogance? "God, why aren't you using me?" You see, there's the potential problem. So what's the solution? Well, maybe we can start by trying to see things more like God does. Let me go back to my initial whining session about the news. Let me go back to that. Well, there is a lot of tremendous things that go on every day in our city. We amen that. We're good with that. There is also tremendous need, right? There is. Nod your head. There is tremendous need all around us. There's need for the word of God to be proclaimed. There are people staggering, literally staggering around in despair, yearning for God or some purpose to be revealed to them in their darkness. Who's going to tell them? They live right next door to us, maybe right around the corner. You meet them in a grocery store. You meet them in the post office. You meet them at the line at the bank. You may meet them in the line to drop off kids or grandkids at school. You know, children at school just across the street from you maybe didn't sleep last night because of hunger or because their parents were up all night fighting. Who knows? Your neighbor, a senior adult perhaps, has to choose between money for medicine or for groceries. Your best friend's child, perhaps in trouble with the law or in the grip of some addiction. Who is going to bring God's word of hope and love and light to each of these examples and many more that we could say? Perhaps Samuel or Samantha is right here in our midst today, eager, ready to go, needing only Eli's encouragement. Well, without being pretentious, consider yourself encouraged. By what you have heard from God's word this morning, consider yourself encouraged. On the other end of that spectrum, instead of being Samuel, maybe you feel more like Eli. Tired. Tired. Ready more for eternity than the world here and now. If that's you, understand God wants to use you too. There's no opt-out clause when it comes to God's work. God wants to use you too. Not next month, not next week, not even tomorrow, but here and now. Because you see, the people that he wants to send you to may not have next month or next week or even tomorrow. God's call is for the here and now. God is here. We are here now. And the light of love in Jesus Christ must shine in a dim world, and he wants it to shine through us. Love the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, who is my neighbor? Here in our city, in our communities, what shall we do about it? More personal, what are we going to do about it? Let's pray and ask him for his help. Dear Father, we are quick to confess that we believe in you and we want to follow you. We're quick to go there. Father, make us equally quick to open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to what it is you truly desire for us each day. Using us as we go. Revealing to us as we go our way how we can be used to point others to you, how we can be used to eliminate hurts and needs in Jesus' name. Father, we know that your Spirit promises to be with us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us all that we need to provide for your will as you place it in right in front of us. So we pray that even today, you would send us on our way, on your way, to minister to those that you place in our path. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to sing a hymn, one of my favorite hymns. First hymn I ever learned to sing the bass line on. It is. It really is. My dad taught me the bass line on this when I was an adolescent. Cracked up a little bit along the way, but it's a great hymn. It's called I Am Resolved, hymn number 301. And I want you to look. Pull your hymnal out right quick. We'll sing it in just a minute. But I want you to look at verse number 3, one of my personal favorites. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Whatever your position in life is today, whether you're a not yet believer, I don't believe in unbelievers, God doesn't either. Not yet believer, whether you're a not yet believer or whether you are someone who is struggling with your daily walk, you are a believer, but yet you're struggling with your daily walk, or whether you're someone that is feel like you got it all together. As you sing this hymn, I want you to let God lead you. I want you to open up your heart, and as you sing these words, ask him, Father, is that truly me? And if it's not, forgive me, cleanse me, heal me, make me new, make me fresh, make me usable by you. I'll be here at the front, and whatever your decision, if you'd like to talk with me about it, that's great. I'd be glad to talk with you. But the main thing is as you sing this hymn and you sing these words, make those your prayer, make those your commitment to the God who loves you and wants to see you used by him in a powerful way. Let's stand and sing together now. benediction and response, I invite you, encourage one another. We do walk together in this journey, so I invite you, stick around, encourage one each other, and get to know those who are perhaps guests with us today. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it's a glorious day. It's a time to worship together, and we thank you for that. We also pray that you would walk with us. You've promised you will. We know you will, that you'll walk with us as we leave this place. Father, help us to follow your lead and depend upon you and give you all the praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.